Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
It's festival season in Buffalo. Already we've had the Greek Festival. This past weekend was the granddaddy of them all, the Allentown Art Festival. I'm sure it's the same way in every city, but I have to say Buffalonians seem to love their festivals.
Well, yes, and we're always adding new ones. This is the first time we've done an entire festival issue, which the June issue is all about festivals, at least our feature section, and we tried to be as complete as possible. We really tried to be as accurate as possible, but we tried to do the whole year. So some of them, you know, going really forward into 2015, they don't even have their dates yet, you know, or the website's not ready and so on. But we add some of the ones that we write about have only been added within the last 2 or 3 years. They are very young festivals.
It seems that Western New Yorkers are embracing summer because you not only have the big festivals, but even neighborhood business districts are holding music nights. And I see more and more restaurants replacing front parking lots with patios. It seems like summer is big now in this area.
Well, people want to be outside. You really don't want to have an indoor special event in the summer in Buffalo. You've got to have some kind of element of it. For example, you know, Howells has an Artists and Models event, which is next weekend. And they are even having part of it outside, and they have a tent outside because you also have to be ready. So it's you're on a tightrope. Will it rain? Will it not rain? You have to be ready for everything. But the standard is people want to be outside, and they won't be happy to go to an indoor event at this time of year.
There's probably not a weekend between now and September that does not have at least one high-profile festival. While they attract thousands of people, what are some of the challenges festivals pose, especially in the neighborhoods where they're being held?
Well, for example, I live in Allentown, and we've been living in Allentown for 15 years now. And what you learn is, if you live on Franklin between, say, Virginia and Allen, you're not going anywhere with your car in between the hours of, say, 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock on that weekend. Just forget about that. Park it somewhere else or walk or just stay there, which is what I do. Is like I look forward to it as an excuse to stay in my neighborhood and enjoy the festival, because I think that's why I chose urban living. But I think for some people, it can be kind of annoying. And then, of course, with all festivals, and I think the parades, particularly the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is a lot of it takes place in Allentown, which is kind of a festival, a one-day festival in a way. You have litter. You have people celebrating into the night. And, once the sort of vending is over and the sort of daytime festival events are over, then you get into the entertainment, the drinking part of the festival. And that can be wearing to city residents. But I think it's not a terrible price to pay for the vibrance that these events bring to our community. So we definitely will. I definitely don't have a problem with it, but it's something that some people might.
Let's take a look at some of the relatively new festivals that you talked about. First, the Taste of Diversity coming up June 28th.
That's really interesting because that is in a section of Buffalo Grant Street where it's called Taste of Diversity because, as you know, Mark, there are a lot of the recent immigrant refugee communities have settled in that part of town, and they've opened up businesses. And a lot of these businesses are food businesses, which is greatly to our benefit. So here's your chance to walk up and down Grant Street and taste African food and Indian food and Burmese food and all these wonderful cuisines that we don't even have regular brick and mortar restaurants. Sometimes they might just be from stands. And so it's a chance to see exactly what kind of community Buffalo has become over just the past 10 years and how our original populations of immigrants, which have been coming to us since the 19th century, have changed over the years to include more and more different communities. And it's enlightening as well as fun.
Then in July, the National Garden Festival. Is this an umbrella for all the local garden tours we've seen in recent years?
Yes, and it's recently, the National Garden Festival is now sort of administered by Garden Walk Buffalo. And that is just wonderful because not only are you have all the garden walks, the Lockport Garden Walk, which is in the second weekend of July, I think, and you've got Lancaster Walks and the Williamsville Walks and the South Buffalo Walks, and of course at the end of July, the big Buffalo Garden Walk, which has over 300 gardens. That's not all. You also have every Thursday and Friday, you have open gardens where you can go in the usually in the early evening, late afternoon, to gardens that might not even be on the walks, and this is your chance to go and look at gardens where there's not too many other people. You're not in a big crowd. Garden Walk Buffalo, especially in Little Summer Street, can sometimes get so crowded and hot that you can barely see anything. One person told me it was like being on the subway with plants.
And do tours from other areas come here to view the gardens?
Yes, absolutely. I'm on Garden Walk, and we're actually asked to keep track of all the zip codes that our visitors come from, and I have had visitors from all over the place, certainly from Canada and from our surrounding states, but also from California, from the Midwest, from England, from all over the place. It's Buffalo does not have a hotel room available during the Garden Walk weekend.
Later in August, it's the Steampunk Festival, where fans of the steampunk movement converge on Medina for music, food, and steampunk cider. Now, I have to say, I'm not familiar at all with steampunk, the movement, or cider.
Well, I'm familiar with cider. Cider is experiencing a resurgence in popularity. It's nice. It's not as alcoholic as wine. And, you know, cider during the Victorian era was the drink. It was the working person's drink. And it kind of just fell out of favor, especially in America. It's still pretty popular in England. But steampunk kind of combines in a strange way, and I'm not totally conversant with it, Victorian era culture with sci-fi culture. It's sort of a visual images, and there's a literature of it, and probably, I believe, graphic novels around it. And so the steampunk cider uses that, at least some of the imagery, for its label. And since cider was so popular during the Victorian era, especially, you know, all your people worked in coal mines and so on, that is what the drink that they had. I think it kind of makes sense to use it for the cider. The steampunk cider, by the way, that is made by Jonathan Oakes Winery, is very popular throughout the U.S.
Now, I want to say I'm familiar with cider, like from Mayer Brothers, but this is different.
Oh, no. This is not cider from, this is not the sweet kind of sickening cider that we know of that we usually see during the fall. No, this is cider made from very different apples than you make your normal sweet cider from. And they're, of course, locally grown apples. The apples wouldn't even taste good. Like a lot of wine grapes don't taste like Concord. They are not nice tasting, just as table grapes. Same thing with apples that are made for cider.
One of my favorites is the weekend of August 22nd, and it's the Lewiston Jazz Festival. There, you're able to enjoy a glass of wine, sit outdoors, and dig some of the coolest music on earth. I mean, life doesn't get any better than that.
That's a wonderful festival. It's been going on for some years. We've lost a lot of our opportunities to hear jazz and to experience jazz festivals. Art Park used to have a big one. So it's really great to still have this Lewiston Festival. They bring in headline acts. It's truly a sophisticated adult festival where, yes, you go there, you sit, you have a glass of wine, and you enjoy America's greatest music.
And we do have to point out one of the other festivals in Buffalo at the Albright Knox, the jazz festival there on
Which
Sunday
is also
afternoons.
Wonderful, kind of a different experience, more sort of relaxed, where you just go and sit on the steps and listen to jazz, where I think the Lewiston Jazz Festival is a little more formalized.
Yeah. Now, the June issue also has an article near and dear to me because there's one about the Chautauqua Institution. And as WBFO's unofficial Chautauqua reporter, I enjoyed reading the article in Buffalo Spree that was titled Chautauqua for Rookies.
I am one of the rookies. I have barely been to Chautauqua, maybe for lunch, maybe for one lecture. I think I judged an art show there once. But I'm very jealous of you with your gig with reporting from Chautauqua, because I know people who spend a week there or weekends there, and it just sounds wonderful. I mean, I certainly saw enough of Chautauqua to see how great it could be to spend a whole week there. I would love to do it. So if you want to switch anytime.
You know, I tell people what Chautauqua is, but I end up by telling them you have to experience it because you have to spend 2-3 days, maybe as long as a week, to get the full experience.
Yeah, I'd love to do it myself. So I hope that people will take advantage of our guide. And we have like what to do if you're there for a day, what to do if you're there for a weekend, and what to do if you're there lucky enough to be there for a whole week.
Coming up this week, Thursday, is the Best of Party. Buffalo Spree's July issue is going to look at the best of Buffalo. And tell me about that.
Yeah, Best of Western New York. We've been doing it. This is our 9th actual Best of, where we have a poll and we also use panelists. We use sort of a combo method to choose our Best ofs. And it's really fun because, yes, it's Thursday at 5:30 at Shays, and you can go to our website, buffalospree.com, to learn more and how to buy tickets if you want to come, because it's at Shays, which is beautiful in of itself and is always one of Buffalo's best, right? And you can get the issue, you can pick up your plaque if you're lucky enough to have won a prize, and or you can just go to it and enjoy hanging out with people and the food that we have about 30 or restaurants or so offering some of their best little tidbits to the people, the attendees of Best of. So basically you can just go there and graze and have a few drinks and hang out with your friends and have a great time.
So the Best of Western New York this Thursday at the Shays Performing Arts Center. Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's always fun.
Mark Scott, WBFO News.